This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Let me say to you that this is as much a part of your spiritual journey, of your own personal cleansing, as it is the cleansing of your children. This study is as much about you as it is anyone, because we're all in this war. No one is exempt, no family, no person. And those of us particularly who know Christ, you and I are the target of the enemy. It is the church that he hates and despises. You have a contract out on your head, Christian. This is as much about your journey. And when I say that, I mean this. It is impossible for us to pray for those that we know are in darkness until we are clean before God. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. It is our own cleansing. And so what I tell everyone as we begin this journey, this is about you. I had a man, he asked us to pray for him. And he asked me, he said, my son is 19 years old. He took a Bible and he burned it. And he handed to me those charred pages and he says, that's what I think of your Jesus. And he says, I don't know what to do. I said, has God called you in the ministry? Yes, he has. Have you been faithful? Yes, but I've been through a divorce. Under great sorrow. And I told that man with all of his heartache and sorrow for his son, I said, unless you're willing to take your journey, you won't be able to know how to pray for your son. You can plead, you can cry, you can try to manipulate, you can try to cajole, you can try to do it all. But if you want God to step in, it is through our holiness, through our righteousness as we come into His cleansing that our prayers are answered. We shall deal with that in depth. Now that you're saved, you are not safe. I thought I was. I thought now that I was saved, doing God's will, preaching the gospel, raising the kids in Christian schools, praying for them, loving them, then we were safe. Well, think again. You are, Christian, the target of the enemy. And particularly your children, because they do not know how to fight back. The enemy is that mean and vicious, even attacking the baby in the womb. We'll talk about it. Dominion and the devil. If you don't understand the issue of dominion, you don't get any of this. And I want to tell you, a counselor that is a wonderful, godly man, we were talking about these matters, and I told him, I said, I didn't understand this. He said, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. And we went back and forth. He said, you knew that the Lord Jesus is Lord above all. I said, yes, I knew that. He says, you knew the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. You knew that. I said, yes, I knew that. He said, and you knew there were real demons. You knew there's a real devil. Yep, I knew that. He said, you just didn't know how to engage. And that's where we are as a people. We don't seem to know how to engage. We have a defensive posture. We are in a bunkered mentality. Maybe if I ignore the devil, he'll ignore me. And maybe this bad stuff won't happen to my family if I'm just faithful. Well, folks, think again. You are the target. And in the book of Acts, as we shall see, you see a church that is engaging the enemy. The church that is alive, the church that is healthy, is in this war, not in a defensive posture, but in an offensive posture, not looking for demons. We don't have to look for them. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Some folks say, oh, you're just looking for demons under every bush. That's ridiculous. But I'll tell you what, if you'll stick with this study, We won't have to look for them, okay? But we're not ignoring them anymore. When they show up, we're not going to ignore it anymore. And then the last of the study, I want to tie it all together in terms of revival in the church. Because I truly believe that's what this is all about. This is not about spooks and goblins and ghosts and demons and all the dark stuff, even though the enemy uses all that stuff, okay? This is about our cleansing so that the light of the Lord Jesus can shine in us so He can shine through us to this old dark world. This is about revival. Now, when I asked Dr. Roy Fish to write the foreword to this book, distinguished professor of evangelism at Southwestern Seminary, he saw the size of the manuscript and he was stunned. He said, "Rob, no one has touched this subject in Southern Baptist life of this significance since 1975. He said, "I can't believe you have." I said, "Well, I didn't want to. I can assure you I didn't want to, but the Lord told me to." And so, if you'll add that up, that's almost a generation. It has been almost a generation since any of our people have studied these matters. It is my position and conviction we can no longer ignore these matters. If we do, we will see a whole generation of our young people destroyed. We can no longer ignore the war that we're in. We know we're in a war. But let me simply say to you, most of you are not skeptical about the war. You know we're in a real battle of life and death, a spiritual battle with the forces of darkness. You know it. But you want to have more information so that you can know how to pray. And my goal for this study is that out of this, the Lord will show you. There is no shortcut, folks. There is no shortcut for the Bible study. What you and I think we know doesn't matter. It's what God's Word says that matters. I'm a graduate of our largest Baptist institutions. There was never a day in my theological education, not one class that ever discussed these matters. So is it any wonder that our people are confused when the preachers are confused? Well, how did you get into it, Rob? Well, let me say to you how it began as I was preparing to MC a session for the Southern Baptists of Texas Convention Evangelism Conference. As president of the Conference of Texas Baptist Evangelists, it was my responsibility to MC a session. And so I was looking for quotes. I was looking for material to use with regard to evangelism. Wesley, Moody, Finney, Spurgeon, W.A. Criswell, you know, all of these mighty men of the faith. I was gathering up, and I looked on the bookshelf, and there was a little thin book called The Shantung Revival. This particular book is the reporting. It was in my father's library. He, too, was an evangelist, and so he had this in his library. It's a report of the moving of God within the churches. Each section is the name of the church from China and the movement of God and what they saw as the Spirit began to move in the churches in China. By the way, it was in the 1930s, and simply put, it was probably the greatest move of the Holy Spirit of God in Southern Baptist life. It was in Shantung, in that province in China in the 1930s, okay? And so I pulled the book down and trying to get some juicy quotes, okay? That's what I'm after. So when I stand before these thousands of people, I won't look stupid. So here I am, and I'm looking at this material, and all of a sudden, we find the words restitution is being made, people are being saved, people are asking forgiveness of one another, tithes that have been held back are being paid, and devils are being cast out. And I looked at that and I thought, wait a minute, what in the world's that? And I also began to look at the material of the Welsh revivals, the great movement of God in Wales, the same reporting. Demons were being cast out. People were being saved. People were getting right with God. There was a cleansing, but devils were being cast out. And I looked at those, the history books, okay? That's what I went to. And I began to weep and to be hungry. My soul longed for real, genuine revival in my lifetime. My parents had a revival in their day. It was called Youth for Christ. Out of that, every major evangelical organization in the world we know and love today, Billy Graham, Campus Crusade for Christ, Young Life, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, all of that came out of that youth revival back in the late 40s, early 50s. We had ours in the early 70s called the Jesus Movement. Some of y'all remember that? You remember the long-haired hippies? You should. You were one, some of you. The church didn't like it very well. And church, the Orthodox church, rarely ever likes revival because it shakes the church to the bone. But I looked at my children's generation, and they've not had one. We fuss about whether or not we ought to sing choruses or hymns. It's such a joke. We don't see the movement of God. The churches are shut down. Baptisms are seemingly at an all-time low. And I'm an evangelist. I'm out in the churches. I'm talking about across the land. Not much is happening. Oh, there's a little counterfeit here and a little counterfeit here and all of that and a lot of facade, a lot of stuff, but no real evidence of a move of God. And so I began to cry and to weep, and I said, Lord, would you bring a revival before I die? Would you let us see something before I die? Would you so move among us? I began to weep, and he said, you mean to tell me you want me to do something in the church that you're not wanting me to do in your life? Don't you ever ask me that. And then the tears began to really flow. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't even know what I'm praying. I don't even know what I'm asking of you. Would you do a new work in my life for a new work in the churches? Some months after that, I became aware of a demonic attack and assignment on our family. I was not prepared to handle it. The enemy came to kill our son. And in so doing, he came to kill us as a family. I didn't know what to do. I knew it was demonic. I knew it because of a teaching I learned in the Jesus Movement back in the 70s. I hadn't heard it since then, but I didn't forget it. And I knew it was biblical, and I knew demons were involved. And I said, Lord, you know, it's one thing. If God wants to get your attention, all he has to do is get it through your kids. Amen? When you're real hard-headed, he can get your attention through your kids. And I guess that was me. And so I said, Lord, you're going to have to teach me. And if you don't teach me, I'm not going to know how to save my family. And so I went to the New Testament. This is the Bible that I bought. Okay, I went to the bookstore, bought a new Bible just for this journey, just for this time. And I asked the Lord to show me, and I just began to mark with a red highlighter every passage in the New Testament that had anything to do with demons, the devil, Satan, angels, the whole thing. Okay? Not obscure passages, folks. After I was done, I had a red Bible. It was amazing the passages of Scripture that this evangelist, this gospel preacher, committed to the preaching of the gospel, had ignored. And so the Lord began to show me as I asked Him to do it, and I want to encourage you, ask Him to show you. He is the guide into all truth, not Rob Randall. He and He alone leads us and guides us. So ask Him to do so. You know what we've learned? You have not because you ask not. The Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. But you have not because you ask not. So be specific. If you need to be taught, ask Him to teach you. If you're confused, ask Him to remove the confusion. We are all surrounded by the invisible war. We see casualties of the war on every side. It is becoming more and more impossible to ignore the supernatural battle in which we find ourselves. In fact, the truth of the matter is, those who should be living in great victory and power more often fall into great sorrow and defeat. This is the pill generation. If a child has a behavior problem, what do? We give them a pill. And by the way, the word in the New Testament for sorcery is pharmakia. We get the word drug or druggist from it. I'm not a doctor, not a medical doctor, but I want you to know I heard with my own ears one of the heads of the American Psychiatric Association, and he declared, we do not know what we have unleashed on this next generation. They are guinea pigs. We do not know what we are doing. There's never been a generation like this one, a time filled with education but void of truth. It's a time of great promise but without hope. Everywhere we look, people are seeking answers from psychiatrists, self-help books, and psychics. Husbands and wives, having lost all hope, run to lawyers instead of the Lord to solve marital trouble. The struggle to find some peace at home so often leads to divorce, which brings more guilt and more hopelessness. Men and women are confused as to their own sex. Who would have ever thought that we would have ever come to a time when men can't decide that they're men and women can't decide that they're women? There are no less than five that were in my youth group from some of the finest families of this people who are now dead because they were confused about their sex. Leadership in the chapel choir, leadership in the youth group, and it is not unique to our church. It is nationwide. Out of control are they, even in the face of AIDS and certain death. We're witnessing a generation out of control with all kinds of addictions, seeking to medicate the pain of grief, sorrow, and endless loneliness. From Columbine High School to Pearl, Mississippi, across our land, we watch in horror the epidemic of kids killing kids as a result of a hopeless rage. Beautiful young women. I have a story out of the Dallas Morning News, August 26, 2001. If you were to drive between Burleson and Cleburne, there's a little town called Joshua. Many of you have driven through there often. And off to the left, you'll see a blue sign, and it'll say the Cassie, Florida Memorial Track. They've named it for a girl that ran track, and she held the highest awards in track in the state of Texas. Okay? She was 5'6" and only 93 pounds. Cassie, Florida was one of the best high school distance runners Texas has ever seen. She felt delirious and hopeless. Her athletic ability, her college scholarship, her Olympic dream for Sydney in 2000, all that she had worked for, all that had defined her was disappearing, just as her body was disappearing. Well, it tells the horrible story of how in Class 4A, her state record of 10:41.60 in the 2 mile still stands. Her first year at ACU, she won the Junior National Cross Country Championship and the NCAA Division II indoor title in the 5,000-meter run. Two summers in a row, she competed against the world's best runners as part of the U.S. Junior National Track Team. College coaches across the nation knew her name. Her best times, her grade point average was 3.6, and her SAT score was 750. More than 40 recruiting letters streamed in, enough to fill three shoeboxes. Arkansas, Rice, Vanderbilt, Baylor, some of the nation's best NCAA Division I track programs wanted her, but in those moments of what was supposed to be Cassie Florida's greatest glory, her life began to tumble. Well, her story can be told. She was anorexic. She began to see in the mirror someone who was fat, and yet the real person was dying, skin and bones. And her hair began to fall out. The only peace that she could find in her struggle was to run. That was her release. And they found her collapsed and dead in a gutter. That is this generation. She had every reason to live. She had every reason to hope. But she had lost it all because she had believed a lie of the enemy. Now, in my own study and in my own life, how did God answer my prayer? After months and months of battling for my son's spiritual cleansing, the Lord came to me and said, I have a work I want to do in your life. I want you to get up. There's a cleansing that you need. Well, by this time I've seen the power of God, and so you don't argue with Him. I said, yes, sir. What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to take a pad and a pen, and I want you to go before me, and I want you to write down everything I tell you where you believe and where I tell you you have been deceived in your life, where you have believed the lies of the enemy. Spiritual warfare is based upon lies. The enemy is the father of lies. Everything he does is based on a lie. How do you know the truth? It's the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, not think you know the Word of God, not hope you know the Word of God. But if you don't know the Scriptures, you're in big trouble. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, as we shall see. That's the basis of all this study. The whole issue of spiritual warfare is not a power encounter. It's a truth encounter. The power has already been established at Calvary. The enemy was defeated by Jesus. The issue is not power. We'll see that as we going to our study. So I went before the Lord, and by the way, going before the Lord with Him telling you every time you've been deceived in your life is not a happy time. The flesh hates this, folks. Let me just warn you. The flesh hates this kind of study and this kind of work before the Lord. But I did. I knew I had to. And so I began to write down every time that I believed I had been deceived of the enemy. It took 2 hours. A long list. He showed it to me. I was so exhausted, it's like major surgery, that I went to take a nap. And I got in bed, and about 15 minutes, he woke me up again. He said, "We're not done yet." I said, "Lord, we are done. I can't do this anymore." He says, "You must do it. You come into my presence again." I said, "Lord, to be in your holiness that long will consume me." You remember the picture of Raiders of the Lost Ark when they opened up that ark and it just melted them? That's the way I felt. I felt like, "Lord, your holiness is going to destroy me. I am so dirty. I am so unclean before you. Your righteousness will just consume me. I can't do this." He said, "Yes, you can. You come in the name of Jesus. You put your armor on. You come into my presence." And he says, "I want you to write down Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place." The word is topos. You'll hear it in the study many times. It literally means typography. We get the word typography from it. It simply means a place to stand. A place for the enemy in your life to do his stealing, killing, and destroying. He says, "I want you to begin to write." He says, "You don't have to go on a witch hunt." He said, "I'll show you where it is. I want you to begin to write as I tell you. I'm going to show you every day when you let the sun go down on your anger and you disobeyed my word. There you will find the work of the enemy in your life." Folks, there's one remedy for sin, and it's not forgetting it. It's not trying to fix it yourself. There is one remedy for all sin, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus. It must be taken at Calvary. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you don't take it there, it won't be cleansed. And the enemy knows it. You go ahead and try to fix your own disobedience, and you will open doors to the enemy in your life as I have done.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org. And from there, you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again. Sign up to receive weekly podcast, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there, you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We also have a toll-free number where you can call us so we can talk to you, pray for you, and encourage you. The number is 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
This is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. I want you to know that it is for freedom Jesus came to set us free. We want you to know the freedom that our Lord has bought on Calvary is for everyone who will put their trust in Him. Trust Him today. Let Him go into those places of wounds, those hurtful places, and bring His healing power. That is our prayer for you today. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we thank You in Jesus' mighty name for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust You to do what we cannot do for ourselves. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And we ask You, Lord, that You would heal the brokenhearted today, that You would bring recovering of sight to the blind, to set them at liberty that are bruised. Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that You would be God in our lives today. We have no other. We seek no other. Lord, if you don't heal us, we can't be healed. If you don't save us, we can't be saved. And if you don't deliver us, we can't be delivered. So help us walk in the freedom that you bought for us at Calvary. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.